knows me now, and he died for me. He loved me then, and he loves me now. Oh, how can it be? He saw my face. He knew the place I would be today. He knew me then. He knows me now. Some people say that he died one day, but that was long ago. Well, I'm sure that he was a very good man, but me he did not. Listen, my friend, what I say is true, that he knew me, and he sure knew you. He knew you then, he knows you now, and he loves you. He knows you now, and he died for you. He loved you then, and he loves you now. Oh, I know it's true. He saw you. He knows us now, and he loves us still somehow.
Dear friends, I'm introducing Dr. Walter Martin. He was one of the best teachers exposing cults. He founded the Christian Research Institute and created the well-known radio program about various denominations. Hank Hanegraaff took over the ministry, calling it the Bible Answer Man. Today's program will be by the late Dr. Martin, called The Baptism of Boldness. There will be 4 15-minute talks each during the month of March.
In the name of God, people are dying in their sins. You got to tell them more than Jesus loves them. You got to tell them Jesus is going to judge them. If they're not going to receive love, they're going to receive justice. The old Nazarene preacher said something to me one time. I never forgot. The beginning of my ministry. He said, "Wall, I love to hear you preach." He said, "Because you crack all the nuts everybody runs away from." He said, "Don't ever give up doing it. Just go out there and do it." He said, "And remember something, son." He said, "When you get out there, give them Jesus and the gospel of grace and love. But if they're not going to buy it, be sure you leave them with Moses." I never forgot that advice. He was telling the truth. You don't want grace? Okay, let me introduce you to some law. You're not going to be saved by grace. You'll be judged by law. And the one thing I don't want when I stand in the presence of God is to be judged on the basis of law. I want mercy. I don't know about you. All I can get. Well, this lady said, well, I don't want to get into a discussion. I said, look, give me 30 seconds. That's a famous line. Give me 30 seconds, and I'll prove it to you. She said, go ahead. I said, I want you to listen to the voice of incarnate love. Who was the most loving person that ever lived? She said, why, Jesus. I said, that's right. I said, Jesus was incarnate love, wasn't he? Love in human flesh, right? Right. I said, good, listen to it. You generation of slimy snakes. Who warned you to flee from the damnation of hell? Whitewashed sepulchres on the outside filled with rotting corpses. You children of the devil, the lusts of your father, you will do. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth. I am from above. You are from beneath. You will seek me, but you will not find me. You will die in your sins, for where I am going, you cannot come. Was dead silence in that studio. And then this lady said to me, I kid you not, couldn't you smile a little bit? Her husband almost died. And I said, sure, you generation of slimy snakes who warned you to flee. He said, stop, stop, stop. He said, you made your point. It's all over. You're right. He says, keep quiet. In the nicest way to her that he could possibly say, shut up. You know? And she didn't say anything else. Now, all of this is preamble. What is past is prologue. If we're going to deal with our brothers and sisters who have been asleep for so long that they make Rip Van Winkle look like kindergarten. The church has been asleep while the kingdom of the cults has grown to 34 million people in the United States and on our mission fields. They outwork us, they outgive us, they outsacrifice us. The Watchtower produces more literature in 6 months than all the presses and the denominations can do in a year. The Mormons are pushing forward at a rate where they will, by the year 2000, if Christ tarries, have, in this country, 20 million Mormons. 20 million, they double every 10 years. You're going to have 20 million Mormons and 100,000 missionaries. Computerized with every bit of technology that they can get their hands on. They've got the money to get it. Do you think it's hard now? It's going to be incredible later on. That is why we have to mobilize our resources, our technology. We can't afford the luxury of doing our own thing anymore. Either we hang together and we get the job done, or they're going to hang us separately. You better believe it. And where one of our groups needs money, then we've got to dig into a corporate pot. And if there's a good project, we've got to back it. Nobody has to worry about who gets the credit. Jesus is going to get the credit. We have been so busy fighting among ourselves. We're so busy arguing about whether Christ is going to come before the tribulation, the middle of the tribulation, or after the tribulation, which is pure tribulation anyhow. Premillennial, amillennial, postmillennial, sprinkle them, pour them, immerse them, give them wine, grape juice, Coca-Cola at the communion service. Leavened bread, unleavened bread, bishops, ruling elders, deacons, no bishops, no ruling elders, deacons, bishops, back, forth, in, out, up, down. The whole world's going to hell on the doorstep while you're fighting about nothing. Absolutely nothing. I belong to the Southern Baptist denomination. I'm proud of my denomination. We are the largest and most rapidly growing of all denominations in the world. At our present rate of growth, by 1987, there will be more Southern Baptists than people. But we have a problem. We're so busy with Nichols' noise and nonsense that the kingdom of the cults is tearing us apart. They just woke up in Dallas to the fact that Mormons were there. It took Dr. Quiswell and a whole bunch of others all this time to realize that the Mormon church was chewing them alive. All of a sudden, the Mormons are here! Surprise! They've been here all the time. The Christian Research Institute, we have a special award we send to different Christian organizations. They hate us. We send them. It's called the Yellow Ostrich Award. That's for the people who spend all their time with no guts and their head in the sand. So whatever you do, don't say anything. Don't upset anybody. You saw that film? That was more truth than poetry, Pat. The guy who was playing the lawyer? All right? That is what you're dealing with. The guy who's doing business with the cults and doesn't want to get involved because it's going to cost him something. I got news for him. It may cost him his child. It may cost him his marriage. The people here know that. This is not fun and games. The cults are not Little League baseball. This is the big leagues. And if you're not prepared to play in the big leagues, get out of the way and let somebody that is do it. Your own little organization doesn't mean a hill of beans if we can throw our resources together and accomplish the goals that independently we will never accomplish. John Smith's work needs support. Ed's needs support. Other groups here need support. When they've got projects that are good projects, we should have a committee so that we can sit down and say, we are going to reach Samoa. We are not going to fire BBs anymore. We're going to get out the elephant gun. And then do it. And we will begin to make impacts that the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses and everybody else never dreamed of, because they have been counting on us being disorganized. Well, I maintain that if we've got the courage, that day is over. We can get organized, and we can give them a run for their money they've never dreamed of. If we really love them, if we really care, let's be sacrificial enough to get the job done, no matter who gets the credit. There's an old adage that says, there's no limit to the amount of good that can be done for the advancement of the kingdom of God if nobody cares who gets the credit for it. Now that's where we're at. And the Bible has a lot to say on this subject. The baptism of boldness is what makes it possible to communicate effectively in a controversial era. John F. Kennedy said in the 1960s, we must dare to think, to write, to speak, because the lifeblood of America is controversy in the cause of truth. And if we don't stand up for the truth, then the world is going to walk up and down on us with golf shoes. And now is the time to start doing something about it. Now, the scripture is very explicit on this subject, and I'd like to give a couple of references here which I think fortify what I think is desperately needed today in the Christian world. A baptism of boldness from God that can turn our world upside down for Jesus Christ. Did it ever strike you that the Apostle Paul seems almost addicted to the idea of defending the gospel? Did it ever strike you? It should. Because today the one thing that you are not getting is the defense of the gospel. Jude verse 3 is my life verse. I like it because it incorporates the two basic biblical principles. When I wrote to you, brothers, concerning the common salvation, it was necessary for me to urge you put up a good fight for the faith, once for all delivered to the saints. The weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty towards God in the pulling down of strongholds. It does not say marching around them and blowing a trumpet. It says breach the walls, tear them down. Every idea, every thought that exalts itself against the throne of God, we are at war. And everyone that considers himself a soldier of the cross had better start being one. If you're a soldier, you do not get yourself encumbered, says Paul, with the things of earth. You want to please him who has called you to be a soldier. You say, well, you seem pretty uptight on this, Dr. Martin. I am. Because the non-Rockabodist mentality, the stupid lawyer mentality, the slimy businessman's mentality is selling out the defense of the gospel so that today people do not have reasons for their faith anymore. They use John 3:16, 5:24, 6:47, Acts 16:31, a host of salvation and sanctification texts. They talk about their experience with the Lord Jesus and how wonderful it is for you to get saved. And then somebody makes a fatal mistake. They're asked to answer a question. And they can't. And that's our business. The business of giving people reasons for faith. Ron Carlson is one of my best students. I love him because of all my students, he has done the thing that I wanted to see done that I had tried to do. He doesn't really care what any of them think. He only cares that you get out there and tell them like it is. And that's why God's blessing his ministry. And that's why he'll bless all of us if we'll tell it like it is. Who cares what the Masons, the Shriners, the Elks, the Odd Fellows, the Kiwanis, the Rotary, and everybody else thinks, and his Uncle Harry thinks about what we're doing? The only person that matters in what we are doing is what Jesus Christ thinks. And if you please everybody else and you don't please him, let me tell you something, baby. You're in trouble. Because the name of the game is Jesus, not the world in which we find ourselves. The world is passing away, and all the lusts that are in it. But whoever will do the will of God will abide into all eternity. You and I are committed to the proclamation of the common salvation and the defense of the faith, once for all delivered unto the saints. We do not need Charles Russell, Mary Baker Eddy, Ron Hubbard, Joseph Smith, Brigham Young. The faith was once for all delivered to the saints almost 2,000 years ago. All we have ever needed, all we will ever need, is that faith and Jesus Christ. The apostle in 2 Timothy doesn't hesitate to talk about the things that are bothering him. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Now the King James says, in season or out of season. That's bad. The Greek doesn't say that. The Greek says, preach the word whether it's convenient or inconvenient. Do you know there are Christians running around today waiting for a convenient moment that never comes? And the reason why it never comes is because God doesn't care about convenience. God cares about obedience. So you preach it, convenient or inconvenient. The world crucified Jesus Christ and beheaded John the Baptist. Christ was God in human flesh, and John the Baptist was the greatest of the prophets. John couldn't please the world by abstinence, and Jesus couldn't please it by participation. Now what makes you think you're going to make it? You're not. So quit. Quit trying. And get back to the idea of preaching the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort with patience and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not put up with sound teaching.
Friends, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and wish to be in the rapture, say this prayer with me right now, okay? It will be available on cephas-radio.com in case you can't follow it. Cephas, cephas-radio.com. Our Father, who art in heaven, thank you for giving up your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was the only one who was without sin, and able and willing to take the penalty for all our sins by shedding his blood, so we can be assured that he paid the penalty in full. He said the following before he died on the cross. It is finished. God, Father, I humbly come before you and ask for forgiveness for my sins. I repent of them. I wish to become your child, born again of the Holy Spirit, who will be my teacher, my comforter, and my connection to you, Father God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. I wish to make him my Lord and Savior forever. Amen. This commitment will change me, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. Remember, God is in control and allowing his word to be fulfilled when the time is right. Our assignment is to keep you informed as to not be deceived. Satan comes in a perfect coat. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Mark 13:22. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. The elect have the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Jesus taught in John 10:27, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Time is up. Celebrate our 25th anniversary with us at CephasThriftShop.com. Cephas-Thrift-Shop.com. We are selling our inventory at a 90% discount. Books, DVDs, CDs, and etc. The DVDs and CDs are originals and new, and the books are described. Join our monthly newsletter free at go-cephas.com. My email address is r421@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends about us. God bless you, and hope to share with you next week. Shalom, Rita Williams.